Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my joy to have you on board with us today for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you, as we do face the issues, as we do that each day on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the word truth is a lost word today in our vocabulary. And most do not want to know the truth, do not want to hear the truth, go to the wrong places to seek to find the truth. But Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." That's the word of God. The word of God is a book filled with instructions and directions for our life and living. From cover to cover, Genesis through Revelation, the book covers every issue. The Bible covers every issue that we'll ever be faced with in life. So we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. So I pray that as you're tuned in to this broadcast each day, that it will be a broadcast that illumines, encourages, challenges, enlightens, and will motivate you to be involved in the society in which we're living in, that it will motivate you to be salt and light as God has called us to be as Christians in this world. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, First Conservative Baptist Church services on Sunday morning at 9:30 on Sunday morning for the Bible study hour, and at 10:45 the morning worship service, and then on Sunday afternoons at 7 o'clock, it's the evening worship time. We'd love to have you at First Conservative Baptist Church to join us in any one of our services. We've had the joy and the privilege of meeting you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person in a regular worship service, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Or if you're available on the midweek time, 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings, tonight at 7 o'clock, we'll have a Bible study time. We will have some singing and a good fellowship meal. Delighted to have you come. Kind of an informal service on Wednesday evenings. We meet in the lunchroom, and it's an opportunity for us to be a one-on-one time of getting acquainted and fellowship. Looking forward to have you join us for one of the services. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, starting next week, we're going to do a broadcast each day dealing with who is Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Have you ever considered that? I believe most of the time we take it just kind of nonchalantly and flippantly that, well, I know Jesus, I know who he is. Do you really? Do you know who Jesus is? When did Jesus start to exist? How do we know that Jesus is God? How does Jesus fit into the vast picture of biblical salvation? Oh, yes, people say, well, you need to receive Jesus. How do you do that? What are we talking about? All of the broadcasts next week will be dealing with who is Jesus Christ. And a part of that broadcast will also deal with the subject, the attacks against Christians and against Christmas. We have an increasing number of attacks against Christmas each year. We'll talk about some of those and why it's so vital for us as Christians to be found faithful in serving the Lord, faithful and committed to his word. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question to get into our monologue and have our discussion today on the issue of our Bill of Rights and our Bill of Rights being under attack. What if we had no free speech in America? What if we lived in a nation where there's no free speech? And ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of nations, there are no free speeches. Multitudes, if not most nations today, you cannot openly say anything against the government or about the government. Many nations today are having high restrictions on free speech, that you can't say anything about Islam. Many nations today, you cannot say anything about the Sodomite lifestyle of the LGBTQ movement that's saturating and permeating society. That's considered hate speech and not free speech. What if we did not have religious liberties in America, where we could not worship freely, where we could not have a broadcast even as we're doing now and talk about biblical issues freely? What if we lived in that kind of nation? What if we did not have the right to keep and bear arms, our Second Amendment right? Ladies and gentlemen, the first two amendments in our Bill of Rights are the underpinning of all that we have in America today. Without that, we would have no America. The Constitution is clear in our Bill of Rights, the 27 amendments, the first 10 amendments referred to as the Bill of Rights. Amendment 1 talking about religious liberties and free speech. Amendment 2 talks about our right to keep and bear arms. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the right to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment says, is not to be infringed upon. So, ladies and gentlemen, the newly elected liberal socialist, Nikki Fried, that's the state of Florida's commissioner of agriculture, is already flexing her muscles and talking about her intent when she takes office in January. Nikki Fried, the new commissioner of agriculture, is talking about, in some fashion, trying to curtail or limit the concealed weapons permits in the state of Florida. I have never figured out why the concealed weapons permits is under the Commissioner of Agriculture to begin with, but it is, has been there as far back as I can recall. And she's talking about trying to curtail that. In fact, Nikki Fried made this statement. Let me just read you a brief statement that she's made. Title of the article says, newly elected Florida official promises audit of gun program. Florida's newly elected agricultural commissioner is vowing to conduct a, quote, deep dive into the state's concealed weapons permit program once she is sworn into office. Nikki Fried, who appeared on the South Florida News program this past Sunday, said she has already begun talking about the possibility of changes in the program with employees in the Department of Agriculture and Commission Consumer Services. She further, this article says, Fried, who says she has had a concealed permit herself for 5 years, contends that the guns rights groups, such as the National Rifle Association, have too much influence over the operation of the program. Further, this article says, she also said she wants to require that all permits, background checks, be done by full-time employees. Now, she says, some of the background checks are done by part-time employees. Now, I don't know what differentiation that would be, what difference it would make in that. But, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very, very clear. In Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And as the ones that would be referred to as the righteous, the Christians, the God-fearers, the ones that believe in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, what are we to do if our foundations are destroyed? And we're watching today, and I'm not a pessimist, I'm not a negative person, but I'm a realist. And some of the issues that we faced are dealing with real issues. And as a realist, what would we do if we did not have a First Amendment right, religious liberties and freedom of speech? What would we do if we had our Second Amendment right curtailed or canceled, where we could not keep and bear arms for self-defense? Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join in this dialogue and discussion. Love to have your impressions and your input on this subject in particular. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you directly through to our studios and right to the microphone so that we can have this dialogue and discussion together. Ladies and gentlemen, the right of self-protection is given to us by God. In fact, time won't allow, but may I simply remind you that there's a book that's in bookstores where good books are sold. If it's not in your bookstore, be sure and call so that we can get one to you. It's called The Doctrine of Self-Defense, and it is an in-depth look at the Second Amendment of the Constitution. The right to keep and bear arms, ladies and gentlemen, is a right that was not given to us by our founding fathers. It's a right that was not just simply ours because of it being codified in our Constitution. It is a right that's given to us in the biblical text. God gave us the right to keep and bear arms. And time won't allow to get into all of the details, but let me just simply say it's a very small book. It's not major. It's not a mega book. It's less than 100 pages. The Doctrine of Self-Defense. And let me just remind you today, I'm going to offer this to all of our listeners, the Doctrine of Self-Defense. For any contribution toward the support of this broadcast continuing on the air, we'll send one to you free, no cost to you. We'll pay the postage even to ship it to you. It's called the Doctrine of Self-Defense. It's the biblical doctrine of self-defense. And may I remind us, in this little small jam-packed with documents and information and evidence about what God has given to us, is found in this book. Love to send you a copy free. The title of the book is The Doctrine of Self-Defense. If you be willing to call 904-262-8275 or simply call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your name, address, telephone number, contact information on the online phone operator, be delighted to send this to you. And any amount, $5, $10, $50, it doesn't make any difference. The book is not an expensive book to begin with. It retails for $10.99. Be delighted to put it in your hands. I believe that every Christian citizen, we're citizens, every Christian ought to have this book. It is called The Doctrine of Self-Defense. George Washington, for example, I'm reading on page 31 from this book. George Washington said, "Firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance. They are the people's liberty teeth." Thomas Jefferson said, "Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God." James Madison said, "Americans have the right and the advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms." In fact, Samuel Adams said, "The Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States of America who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms." And I could go on and on and on. I list literally page after page of quotes from our founding fathers. But I'd love to have this book in your hands, The Doctrine of Self-Defense. You can simply call 1-800-GO-BIBLE or 262-904-262-8275 and leave your information. We can ship that to you. Any contribution that you send, you can send that, making it payable to First Conservative Baptist Church for the radio broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, the right of self-protection, as I said, is given to us by God. It is codified in the Scripture, confirmed by the courts to be carried out by we the people. We have a whole new culture today, though, ladies and gentlemen, a culture with the mindset today that says guns are horrible, guns ought to be outlawed, guns are dangerous. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Automobiles are dangerous. We do not outlaw cars. Medical practice is dangerous. We do not outlaw physicians. Weapons, in fact, multitudes of those that have been killed are lumped with those that are killed in police activities that are rightful shootings, those that are honorable and should be done. But ladies and gentlemen, we have the culture today that has the mentality that says that you cannot have a gun. It's wrong. In fact, here's an article that's frightening. The article says a Harvard student told to move out of her apartment because of a legal gun that she owns. Yes, that's correct. This article says a graduate student at Harvard University is being told by her landlord to move out of her apartment that she leases, because according to the report from the Free Beacon, her roommate searched her personal belongings until they found the gun, and now they feel uncomfortable, the article says. Dave Lewis of Avid Management, the management company, by the way, that manages the lease on her apartment, told the publication in an email, quote, "Since it's clear that she, this woman, Leela, wants to keep her firearm, it would be best for all parties if she finds another place to live. The demand for her to leave came after her roommates searched her room while she was not at home," the report explained. "They found her firearm, which is legal, as she is one that is in compliance with all the laws and has the permit. That prompted one of the roommates to email the management company to verify whether or not she is in compliance with all applicable firearms laws." This article further says the roommates complained to the landlord, the report said, stating, quote, "We discussed with Leela that all of us are uncomfortable with having firearms in the house, and that the presence causes us anxiety and deprives us of quiet enjoyment of the premises which we're entitled. The article goes on. Here's the bottom line. This is the bottom. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. Her three roommates discovered that she had a cap called a MAGA cap, Make America Great Again. They found her cap, Make America Great Again, and she's from Alabama. And so they determined they'd find out a little more about her. And she found out that her roommates had searched her room. They'd gone through all of her possessions. They'd looked in all of her belongings. This article says, finally, after they finally being told many lies and accounts of what happened, the roommates finally admitted that they had searched my closet, they'd searched under my bed, they'd opened all the drawers in pursuit of finding my guns. When I asked them what they were in my room for to begin with, they came up with completely contradicting stories. We saw, this is the end result, we saw that you had a MAGA, M-A-G-A, Make America Great Again hat. And come on, you're from Alabama also. So we kind of assume that you had something to hide. This article further says, I have a real legitimate reason, talking to the lady talking about why she had the gun, reason and why I want to protect myself, she said, as she talked with the reporter. She had been in an abusive relationship. Her former boyfriend had threatened to kill her, threatened her life, and she was protecting herself. But ladies and gentlemen, I find it absolutely insane when you have the freedom in America under our Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms, the right to keep and bear arms, now being told she's got to move out of her apartment because she simply owns a weapon. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just as bad as in South Florida, where a retired preacher was told to move from his apartment because he was having Bible studies in his home each week. That intersects with our First Amendment right, the freedom of religion, the freedom to speak and speak publicly, the freedom to have Bible in your home. It's no difference. What if somebody said, you got to move out of your apartment because you've got a Bible? That's literally what they've told the retired preacher in South Florida. But ladies and gentlemen, today's never before in the United States of America, in this history of our nation, our First and Second Amendment rights are in grave danger, grave danger. In fact, let me just give you a little litany of some of those things. Christian free speech is now under attack via the sodomite LGBTQ push in America, wanting to silence the Christian. If you don't believe that, just research it, where Christian bakers and Christian florists and Christian wedding planners, Christian innkeepers are now being persecuted and prosecuted simply because they do not want to violate their conscience. They don't want to violate their relationship with the Lord, and they don't want to have anything to do with a homosexual wedding. Christian bakers and florists are being persecuted and prosecuted just because of their stand for religious liberties. That intersects with our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our First Amendment right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, going back to the scripture, we need to understand that God created government, and government is a minister of God. But we find today so many governmental agents and so many governments are absolutely gone crazy with trying to control the actions and the activities of citizens of the United States of America, and it's in contravening of that which is in our Constitution and especially in our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, homosexual activities are being pushed today to silence the Christian. Their goal is ultimately to get into the church and control the church. It's happening now in Canada. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. The gay activists are coming after Christian churches. And this goes on to say, over the past decade, attacks on Canada's Christian community by the LGBTQ activists have escalated significantly. In Alberta, educational ministry is threatening to defund and possibly shut down religious schools that do not accept gay straight alliance clubs. Canada's Supreme Court recently ruled against the Trinity Western University, a private Christian institution in British Columbia, simply for having students agree to a lifestyle contract upon enrollment. And of course, attempts to force schools to teach gender ideology are taking place simultaneously in nearly every province across the country, end quote. That's happening in Canada, where the Canadian Supreme Court, ladies and gentlemen, has already ruled that the LGBTQ rights trumps any religious liberties, any Christian rights in the nation of Canada. We're on the very verge of seeing that take place in America. In America today, it's being pushed. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, across America, approximately 2% of society in the Pew Research poll and in the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control Research, approximately 2% of our citizens place themselves in the category of transsexual, homosexual, bisexual, or any of the perverted lifestyles in the sexual category. And yet they're now in control of and trying to eliminate our religious liberties and the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, that's onerous. I don't know about you, but we need to recognize that government is the minister of God. But at the same time, the government, according to Romans chapter 13, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, God created government to protect the good and to prosecute the evil. And yet we're finding it reversed in society today, where the armor of government is being used to persecute and to prosecute and to punish Christians because of our stand for Christ. And I think it's time Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I think it's time Christians would recognize that unless we are salt and light in society. In fact, I recently read an article by Dr. James Dobson talking about that all that we have as our freedoms today are in jeopardy unless Christians take a stand. And I believe he is exactly right. I believe it's time that we take that kind of stand. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, curtain lifted on students' order to hide while praying. This intersects with our religious liberties and freedom of speech. A school district in Texas has reversed its policy of forcing students who want to pray during their lunch break to hide behind a curtain in the cafeteria, move or to an empty gymnasium building, or outside. This came about as a result of a principal telling the students when they were caught praying, he said, "Y'all can't do that." Here's what he said. "Y'all don't do that again," the principal said. Lee Frost told the students after they met during a lunch period and as they sat at an empty table and quietly prayed together, end quote. That's an infringement on our liberties, freedom of speech, and our religious liberties, ladies and gentlemen. This article goes further, says, in other words, the students were told that they could not pray in view of other students in the school, end quote. Students should not have to hide, ladies and gentlemen, should not be exiled from the public arena, should not be exiled and have to go behind the building or in a closet to pray in public schools. May I remind us, school officials need to be reminded that students don't lose their First Amendment rights because they walk into a schoolhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a son or a daughter, a grandson or granddaughter that's in the public school system, urge them, encourage them to, as Christians, be bold enough to take your Bible. Put your Bible on the stack, top stack of your books. Walk down the hallway without any fear of intimidation because you love Jesus and you want the world to know it. Don't be intimidated by hiding your Bible or not taking your Bible to school with you. Don't be embarrassed by bowing your head in the lunchroom and publicly letting others see you pray and thank Jesus for your food. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed to tell people that you're a Christian. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed or fearful somehow that you cannot do so on school grounds during the Christmas season to tell people that Jesus is the reason for the season. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's time we as Christians take back our religious liberties, our freedoms that we have codified in our Constitution, that the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross to give us. It is an amazing thing to me that we have the movement today by the agenda of the leftists, the liberals, and the socialists that somehow, some way, say that we need to hide to pray or to say that we cannot do not have the right to keep and bear arms. Somehow, some way, we ought not to be afraid. We ought not to shrink back into a closet. We need to take a stand. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, what if all of a sudden we would have no freedoms? What if all of a sudden there'd be no freedom of religion, no freedom of speech, no freedom to keep and bear arms? What would we do? Here's an article that points out very vividly the need to be able to have self-defense. The title of the article says, "Woman leaving for church shoots and kills an intruder." Dateline, December the 4th. A Detroit woman heading out of the door on her way to church Sunday shot and killed an intruder who forced her and two other women back into their homes. Detroit police determined that the woman who fired the gun, 55 years of age, acted in self-defense and won't face any charges. She was leaving for church with two other women, ages 75 and 29, when a woman lurking outside forced them back into the house. The 55-year-old woman retrieved the handgun, fired twice at the intruder. This article goes further to say, the threat was pretty normal, she said, in her neighborhood, noting that her house was broken into less than a month ago in broad open daylight. She said the mostly elderly and single mothers live on her street, and they are likely targets for her community. Ladies and gentlemen, what if she had not been armed? What if she did not have the right to keep and bear arms? What if she did not have the right of self-defense? What if that intruder had just forced his way in, harmed, hurt, raped, or killed, and robbed the three ladies? What would be the answer? It'd simply be a write-up in the paper that here's the dear woman that was killed by an intruder. Nothing can be done. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen. Michigan woman shoots and kills an intruder. A woman in Michigan shot and killed a home intruder on Sunday. The woman and two others had just left their home when a man approached and forced them back inside. One of the women grabbed the gun and shot the man. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it is time that we as Christians recognize that we live in a dangerous society. We live in a society that's spoken of in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following. The scripture says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good." Ladies and gentlemen, the word perilous times, when it says perilous times, it's talking about dark times, dangerous times, difficult times, deadly times. And that's the day in which we're living in. That's not being negative. That's being positive in talking about what the scripture says. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what we have in our scripture, what we have in our Constitution and Bill of Rights that for the most part came directly from the Word of God that our founding fathers gave us so many years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, George Mason said to disarm the people is the best and most effective way to enslave the people. In fact, Thomas Jefferson said, "The Constitution of our states asserts that all power is inherent in the people, that it is their right and their duty at all times to be armed." Now, there are a lot of Christians that say, "You ought not to come near a gun. You ought not to own a gun. You ought not to have a gun. Guns ought not to be in the home. Guns ought not to be in the churches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." But ladies and gentlemen, today in the society in which we are living in, perilous times, dark, dangerous, difficult days, is very vivid when you read an article like this. Northport police searching for two men who robbed church members. Northport, Alabama, police in Northport are looking for two men who robbed several church members at gunpoint Saturday night. Both men were wearing black masks when they walked inside. It was a Pentecostal church. The article says the crime happened just after 7 o'clock in the evening while a church meeting was underway. Assistant Chief Keith Carpenter says 50 church members were inside when the gunman walked in. They entered into the church and threatened everyone with their weapons, and all 55 of them were robbed of their watches, their purses, their cash, et cetera, cell phones, credit cards, all were taken. Ladies and gentlemen, that happened in a church. In fact, most of the weather facts since 1999, approximately 1,100 churches have had on their campuses or in their buildings intruders with firearms and are shots being fired that hurt, harmed, or killed someone in churches. There's a need today for churches to recognize the need to be secure. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, states are now infringing upon the right to keep and bear arms. Guns must have trigger guards, according to many state laws. Ammo, that's the ammunition that goes in the gun, cannot be in the weapon under some laws in some states. That's infringing on the constitutional right to keep and bear arms. And the Second Amendment says, and shall not be infringed. Many states today are taxing the ammo heavily so that people cannot afford to buy ammunition for their weapons. If the weapon is in one room, the ammunition in another room, and somebody's intruding coming into your home, do you say, "Wait, intruder, wait, Mr. Burglar, wait, Mr. Rapist, until I go down the hallway, get my ammo, put it in my weapon? Would you wait until I can arm myself?" States are trying to make it more difficult to get a permit to keep and bear arms, to have a way of self-defense. Even churches are having today to have some way, some manner to protect themselves. In fact, here's an article that I close with. Leftist narrative gutted a handgun murders drop once state laws allow constitutional carry. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize there are some states, about a dozen of them, that now are allowing permitless, that is, carries without a permit, which means that any law-abiding citizen can carry a concealed handgun without additional license. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a fulfillment of the right to keep and bear arms without any infringement on it. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in dark, dangerous times, and we need to look up. The scripture says, Luke 21:28, look up, lift up your heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to recognize these dark days, and as Christians, take a stand, study the Word, know what God has provided for us through salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.